Thanks for listening to Casualty Friday on the Fangoria Podcast Network. I'm Tiffany Shepis, and before we get into the episode, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine has been around since 1979, and oh my God, it's now a deluxe 100-page quarterly edition. Each issue includes set visits, deep dives, new discoveries, and minimal ads, all printed on collectible-grade paper stock that reimagines the classic magazine for a 2019 audience. And you'll see bylines that'll make you scream with awesomeness, like Barbara Crampton and S. Craig Zahler. And the best part, it's print only, just like the good old days. Go to Fangoria.com to subscribe today. I need to tell you about Shudder. Shudder, the place that we all watch on Friday nights, Joe Bob Briggs, The Last Drive-In. Shudder has the largest, fastest growing, human curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. Shudder gives you ultimate access to stream ad-free on all your favorite devices. To try Shudder for free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code FRIDAY. That's Shudder.com.
Fangoria presents Casualty Friday.
Hey guys, welcome to Casualty Friday. You're listening to the Fangoria Podcast Network. Grab a beer, your favorite fuzzy slippers. You're listening to me and my killer friends. I'm Felissa Rose.
Hey, I'm Tiffany Shepis.
And Kane Hodder.
Today we're going to talk about family life as a horror actor. We're all actors in the genre, and all of three of us have families. Right. And we get that question all the time, like, how do you balance it? So how do you?
Both my sons, Jason Reed, have been in different horror films that I've done. Reed had dialogue in Ed Gein, and they were both in the first Hatchet film. So they've kind of grown up in the proximity of horror. So it's never been an issue. And my wife, Susan, has dealt with me for a long time. I mean, we met in 1985, so that's how long we've been together. And she has seen the progression. I wasn't known in horror at all when we met. So
does she like horror?
I mean, I think she appreciates it and respects it, but not her favorite genre.
Yeah. And what about the kids?
I think they enjoy it, but you know, it's a little tough because when your dad's the one doing the killing, if they talk about that to their friends, it could sound like they're trying to be big shots. You know, my dad was Jason. That's kind of a cool thing. But if it's...
Unless they're a Freddy fan.
Well, who is, though, really?
I would imagine it's the coolest thing ever to be your child. Like, my dad is Kane Hodder.
People are, you know, offended by that.
Sure.
And some people are. Oh, your dad does a lot of violent murders on film? You know, a lot of people look down.
Yeah, it doesn't always work well with, like, I'm going to bring you to career day. Like, if you're at, like, a Mormon school or something, you know, maybe not going to work out. But you have, Felissa, three kids.
I have 17 kids.
All grown up in the genre.
Are they all yours?
I don't know. No, I have three children, and they all love horror, and I've put them in everything I've, you know, our kids have been in films together. Anything I produce, my daughter Lola is the voice in Victor Crowley in the beginning. She does the...
Wait, did I even know that?
I don't think you did. Lola does the opening, and it's thanks
really?
To Tiffany.
Yes, you are welcome. Adam Green wrote me an email and was like, do you know any little kids that can sound really little to be the opening thing? And I was like, little kids? I'm like, how old? And he said the age, and I was like, Felissa's kid, Lola. Like,
once upon a time, there was a...
So I would like Lola.
Amazing. That's
Lola,
very cool.
Please send me those residual checks. I'd like a 10% cut. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. And Tales of Halloween.
Yeah, Tales of Halloween. Both of our kids were in Tales of Halloween together. My daughter was the one who, when, you know, opened the door, she stabs Trent Haga on the stomach and it's like, trick. And then your daughter's at the end, you know.
Bianca had the prosthetic eye and had to kill with a hatchet, 9 years old, and had to say, take this, you fucking whatever.
Yeah, wow. Like,
no, she actually says, happy Halloween, you fucking sicko.
Okay, yeah.
Jesus.
Wow.
I can't remember.
No, your
lines.
Children's lines.
Yeah.
But no, so yeah, I mean, it's hard to, I think, people ask that all the time, like, to find the balance, like, can you do it? But I think it's kind of the same as any other job. Any working parent has the same problem, like finding time to balance work, finding time to find to go to school plays.
But we go away a lot. That's where, you know, it's difficult because I have three young children and they're all, you know, in school. So it's kind of like, as the mom, it's different, obviously. Being the mom, you want to prepare the lunches and the conferences.
A lot of dads do that.
A lot of dads do that. But I just feel like I think maybe I'm a control freak. As the mom, I want to be there every step of the way. So I try to kind of manage it and then leave and take a trip or make a movie and then get back. And
but yeah, that is hard that we're gone a lot. But on the flip side, we may be gone for weeks at a time and then home for months and months and months at a time not working, which I think is the one perk, at least for me, like that I can sort of tailor my schedule around important events,
that's
right?
That's true.
If you can. I mean, but so now, do you guys, because you make these movies, because we all make these movies, did you ever kind of force it on your kids? Like, you've got to watch horror films. You've got to know who Uncle Kane is. You have to, or did you just kind of let them grow up the way they were going to grow up?
My kids, you know, love it naturally because my husband, Darren, is such a fanatic.
Oh, he's a fan.
Is he a fan? I thought this wasn't a good word anymore.
I could say that about Darren. He's a fanatic. Yeah, he's a huge, like, you know, just loves the genre. That's how we met. He was, you know, loved Sleepaway Camp. But he is so, you know, obsessed with horror movies that our entire house is just like a museum of sorts with posters and every, you know, movie ever made, every horror movie. So they naturally took on like, oh, Dad, I want to see this. I want to see Friday the 13th.
So like a bonding
He's up
thing.
All night playing the Friday the 13th game.
Oh.
All night. Like I came here and left him, left at 5 a.m. and he's still up playing.
Is that right?
Totally.
Addiction.
Yes.
That was fun doing that game, by the way. Did the motion capture for Jason throughout the game. Took almost 2 years to get all that motion capture.
Wow.
You know, not constant, but a session a few weeks later, a few more days, and then a few weeks later, you know, over the course of a year and 10 months.
I really want to see you in one of those mocap tight suits.
Oh, yeah.
Could you please upload that for the Fangoria Podcast
Network
listeners?
I look really good
listeners?
In it. Down below. So.
Oh, do they enhance down there?
Yeah.
It's like rich for somebody's pleasure.
I lent him mine.
But it is a little bit strange trying to be the same character when I'm dressed in spandex with sensors all over.
And yeah, nobody's scary in spandex.
No.
And not even feeling it.
Or maybe terrifying looking.
I just felt honored that the game makers thought I should be doing the mocap because, you know.
So
could
now,
have been anybody.
So that's interesting because making horror movies, fine, one thing, but making a video game, such a thing that kids gravitate toward, like video games, toys, stuff like that. Did that kind of open up a whole nother window of friends and fans for you?
Certainly because, you know, kids that play the game often have never even seen one of the movies.
Sure.
So they're like, you know, if it was mentioned to them, Jason's dad was in the, Friday the 13th movies. Oh, yeah. And he also did the video game. What? And that it's a whole different level. And doing the physical stuff for the video game was completely different because you guys know when you do something physical like a fight scene or something, you most often have to make something look good from one angle.
Yep.
In particular, a punch. As long as the camera is the correct angle, you just have to do your movement. But with motion capture, you have 75, I think, cameras capturing everything from every possible angle simultaneously. So how do you make something look violent from every possible angle? So that had to be considered. And a stunt guy that I used in the motion capture, Ryan Statz, is every single male victim in the game.
Way to Ryan be an overachiever,
wow,
Ryan.
Should have had
Jesus,
us.
Jesus, give other actors a break, Ryan.
It was me hiring him, so I guess I should take the blame. But
listen up, Buttercup. There's more of us in the world.
Buttercup.
Jesus.
You that's can't really believe cool, how though. Often I'm called that, by the way, Buttercup.
Well, you are the sexy mother.
No, I think that's super cool. Like, it's a whole other art form, you know, doing the games.
And I have to say that having my sons tell people that I played that character, I think sometimes made it a little more difficult for them because the character was known around the world and they happened to mention that I played Jason in the movies. A lot of times the reaction is, oh, so now you think you're a big shot. So, you know, they often got resistance and would a lot of times rather not mention it.
Oh, geez. I didn't even think about that.
Because you don't want to get shit about or a million questions also, you know, but for somebody that liked it.
Also could be a little bit of, do I want these people to like me for me or because my dad's in show business?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
That's there, always such a weird part of it for kids. You know, I mean, my child probably doesn't mention the movies because most of them are R-rated and they're going to have to Google search me and then those lucky kids. When they get to see mom. No. But
it's funny. My kids' friends just found out about me because they saw Victor Crowley. And they were, you know.
They saw your scene?
Weird.
They did. But they're teenagers now. Oh, and they saw the movie and they're like, oh. So they haven't seen Sleepaway Camp, but they've seen Victor Crowley. And they're all like, wow, that's super cool. And, you know, now they get it. But
I've had that with Sharknado. Sharknado 2, all of a sudden I had the influx of like kids from our kids' school and like, oh my God, we saw you that. We watched that as a family because it came such this weird, you know, pop culture thing to do, like the Super Bowl with drinking for, you know, bad movies. That all of a sudden I'd get fans at conventions that were families and little kids where I never really had that before. It was mostly like, you know, big dudes that were like, I loved your movie in Death Factory. Now it was a whole new thing. So that was kind of fun that I could sort of bring my family into watching something like that together. Yeah. You know,
more family horror.
Have you guys ever had the kids, you know, because you've been killed in movies, now you probably have it the other way, but where they're affected by watching something happen to you on screen, like where they're just like, I really can't look at that, or you didn't want them to. Yeah.
Well, again, with Victor Crowley, my son, funny enough, he's a huge Jason fan. He's 9, but he's terrified of Victor Crowley. And I'm like, but it's Kane. It's okay. And I think it has to do with my, you know, we haven't shown him my scene, but I definitely think that people are afraid of Victor. You know, kids are scared. So, do you find that? Do you feel like
a little bit? Yeah,
more kids are afraid of Victor Crowley.
The face is terrifying, and you know, you have a face like an actual human face that's disfigured or disformed compared to a hockey mask. Like, I think the realism, like Jason looks like could be a supernatural monster, where Victor Crowley is human.
Human, yeah,
it's human, and that's a little more terrifying as a whole to some people, right? And there's a sadness to Victor Crowley.
There is.
You know, once you know it, now probably Thomas doesn't know that, you know, the backstory of Victor Crowley, but, you know, us as real people are like, you know, kid was picked on. That's shitty. It sucks.
Right.
You know, all right, go kill Phyllis.
But
Rose.
It's up to
go
us
ahead.
To
go
explain it to them.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
There's a documentary called Going to Pieces that I did many years ago, The Rise and Fall of the Slasher Film. It's an excellent doc. It's one of the best out there. About slasher movies, very informative. And we talk about really communicating with your children, whether your children, you know, friends, kids, whomever, about horror movies. And I think I'd like to hear from both of your perspectives, like, you know, it's our job as parents to explain the entertainment factor and that it is a craft. You know, special effects and what you're really seeing. Because do you remember with Silent Night, Deadly Night, moms picketed that movie.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, no, you need to talk to your kids.
Well,
that's what I did.
It's different nowadays, though, than back in the day when you didn't have special effects tutorials on YouTube and stuff like that. Now kids have access. They have Face Off. They have, you know, these amazing shows that teach them like, oh, look, I can do that at home with some Q-tips and some ketchup. You know, back in the day, it was just this movie magic that, you know, was unobtainable to like the regular human in Dayton, Ohio, right? Now anybody can kind of master these things. So I think it takes away the scariness that's deep down for a lot of these kids. Like my son, who's 6 years old, you know, has seen Jaws.
And he's seen the behind the scenes and he saw how the shark was made. And we went to Universal the other day and he can talk about, oh, that's, you know, how they did it. And look, he's on this rig and, oh, that's not a real scuba diver. Like, because there, these things are available to them to watch the makings of.
So true. Yeah.
You know, so kids now are probably going to be more desensitized than we would have been as children going, holy shit.
I never felt like I had to talk to mine about it.
And ever, you know, they are people too, Kane.
Not ever about that subject. It didn't seem to be something that disturbed them. They didn't care to watch my movies till they were, you know, probably 12. And I didn't push it on them, certainly.
Sure.
Whenever they're ready, we'll watch them together and they'll say, wow. And with,
and you're, you know, like, that's how babies are made.
Hatchet is almost, it's so over the top that it's almost not scary, the violence part. Because, you know, with your kill, Felissa, it just, it's so absurd that it, I don't find it scary.
Scary. No, there's a fun all. Factor. It's fun.
I mean, people
it's like,
are cheering it because it's
and laughing.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Over the top.
Well, and also, we all wanted you to die. Yeah. So that's why we
Kathleen, I got heaviest stuff if you need it. I loved playing that character. Oh, why?
There's no playing. Yeah. It was all you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yep, I got Oxy. I got
Valium, Vicodin, Percocet.
Heavier if you want it. Did you write that? Or did
no,
that dialogue, did you add to it? Or
no, it was all verbatim. Yeah, it was all on the page. Adam wrote it.
We discuss like how we would ever talk to our kids about violence in movies. I mean, I think nowadays it's probably a little bit harder because you turn on the news and you see more terrifying stuff than we could ever show in a movie. But I mean, with that being said, do you think horror has taken a turn back towards campy fun stuff because of like the horrific things that we see every day because we really can't top it?
Mm. Wow.
Heavy.
You got really heavy.
Very.
Yeah, jeez. That is.
I mean, I think it has. I think that, you know, movies like Victor Crowley or, you know, the Hatchet series became so beloved because it's like, we need a break from regular life. Like, things are hard. Life is tough. Working, you know, regular people, unlike us, actually have to work really fucking hard to make a living. So you want that crazy release with an absurd death or, you know, Victor Crowley jumping on a plane and trying to drown the girl, which you didn't, by the way. You did not.
No, I did. That's why you drowned.
I mean, I think there's space for all of it. And I think we have to take responsibility and just understand what we're watching. You know, it's entertainment. And that's how I've always viewed horror. I never associate it with real life and what's going on socially.
And I thought Adam was brilliant bringing comedy into
Definitely.
A scary horror film because it is scary at times, but there's so much comedic content in it, and it never takes place when my character's around, so it doesn't compromise the scary part. But why can't it be fun and funny in between the violent acts? Because
sure.
with the Friday movies, there was hardly any humor.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the scenes before between the kills were so boring. No,
you've heard it here, folks.
Sorry. In the Friday movies.
No, I Sleepaway Camp tried to take itself seriously, and I call it a comedy. It's a comedy today. We took it seriously in 82. Now it's hilarious.
Well,
the cheese factor is great. I think horror and comedy
is final
awesome.
Question about like the horror family deal is that, is there anything in like your horror library, not that you've done in particular, but that you would just say, absolutely not, completely off limits, I won't let my kids watch that. You can watch it on your own when you're 18. Like, it's just too much. Is there anything that you guys have seen that you might be like, because to me, I'm not ready to watch The Exorcist with my 14-year-old daughter. I'm just not ready to be like, oh yeah, that's a crucifix she's shoving in her. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not in my parenting wheelhouse to be like, yeah, let's watch that again. Fuck me, Jesus, fuck me. Like, just not okay with it.
There's the catchphrase for this episode.
Yeah, there we go. Holy crap. No, I really, I think it's a conversation that we have about which film. I don't feel like anything's off limits, but I feel like they kind of guide me, like, oh, mom, I want to watch Chucky, or, and then we have a conversation and they understand exactly what they're watching. But mainly because of what we do, they understand, oh, it's Aunt Tiffany, oh, it's Uncle Cade. You know, they understand it. And I just think if parents communicate with their children, they're just better off no matter what they're watching.
In life. Parenting advice on the Fangoria Podcast Network. I think we have some questions, some friend questions that were sent in via Twitter and Instagram and the Fangoria Podcast
Network. Do you have one, Kane?
Well, I do. This is from Chuck.
Chuck.
What up,
Chuck?
We have Bud and Chuck.
You have such elegant fans. Friends.
Oh, you know that. I mean, Chuck. That goes without saying.
Oh, yeah.
From New Mexico.
Felicia knows Chuck
Bud's
from New
brother,
Mexico.
Brother, Chuck.
And he is asking, what am I most proud of? Now, you could take that question, you know, a lot of ways, career-wise or in life or the fact that I survived what I did. Yeah, but honestly, what I think I'm most proud of is my... and you guys
no,
are every time I answer a question, these fucking women are gonna go, oh,
no, I'm not.
No, we're not gonna
it.
Do that.
I'm not.
I love it.
I'm most proud of my son's accomplishments.
I love it.
Because my youngest son Reed just graduated.
That was a legitimate tear.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's
Reed just graduated from Vanderbilt.
That's amazing.
Engineering. Got a job 3 months ago already before graduation.
Wow.
Is going to be working in D.C. and, you know, making more money than I did in my first 10 years of doing stunts. And Jace got his master's degree from Texas A&M, has a great job in Houston.
Wow.
And so the fact that they both did something that, and this leads into another question that I was asked, what's my biggest regret? And only until recently did I ever feel this, but I regret not getting my college degree at this point. I went 3 semesters.
You still can.
I know. Edelman just
did
it.
Are you interested in?
You know, possibly.
Maybe Fangoria Podcast Network would like to sponsor you going back to school.
Hey, there we go.
So Fangoria.edu.
Awesome.
And because, you know, it wasn't necessary in my career. I obviously did okay not having a degree. But the reason I regret it, and maybe it shouldn't be this way, is that I didn't give my father the satisfaction of seeing his son. Because until Jace got his undergrad degree, no hotter male had ever gotten a college degree. So I know how important it was to my dad that I get a college degree, even though it wouldn't have mattered in my career.
Sure.
But now I see from my perspective how
the pride.
Proud you are when your child does that, because that's a lot of work. In Jace's, you know, case, it was 2 degrees over 6 years. And Reed was in the engineering program. Very difficult at Vanderbilt.
Very, very
so
difficult.
So the pride that I feel, now I see how my dad must have been disappointed when I quit and went into something that seemed so unreachable. You want to be a stuntman? You know nobody in the business, and it's going to be very difficult, which he was right. And unfortunately, I didn't become successful before he died. So it was kind of I couldn't even show him that I made the right choice. And don't go there saying, hey, he knows and all that. So,
no,
because
I was
I'm
just
not
gonna
sure
say,
I buy
had
into
you,
that. But.
Had you gone to, you know, and continued in school, maybe it would have taken you away from doing stunts.
So
I always think your natural course, you find it.
Right.
And I think it is the greatest.
No, that is a valid point. It could have changed everything, because I probably wouldn't have gotten burned. and wouldn't have had to go through that whole thing. And maybe, you know, life would have been who knows?
You go down the paths that I think you're supposed to go down. And 100%. Sometimes that is a disappointment to somebody in our lives, but it also probably makes, you know, the other people in your life very proud because of the stories that you have, because of the stuff that you had to go through.
Who you are.
You know, who you are is what the reason why your children went to college and did these amazing things that they've done is because of you now, not because of, you know, who knows?
Possibly,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe you would have went to college and become a total dick. Well, you're a dick. But you would have become worse.
Even worse.
Even worse. And they would have been like, we don't want to go to college. Like, look at our dad. You know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen.
It is true. But I just, I wish I had been able to give him that satisfaction because now I see how cool it is.
Sure.
How good it makes you feel. And, you know, it, at least if he had seen that I became successful in what I chose, then, you know, that might have helped. But all he saw was me get burned, go through that whole recovery process, and then not really get started in my career, and then he was gone. So, you know.
I love that you revealed that. I mean, you and I both lost our dads when we were pretty young. You were
24.
Yeah, and I was 20. And that's really difficult to lose a parent at that age.
Yeah.
And I mean, it changes your whole perspective on life. I mean, I try to look at the best side of that. The only thing that came out of it was I learned to enjoy life because it's so fleeting. Because I saw that he was taken at 42. My dad was 42.
Wow.
So for me, it was like, I just want to have, he was a fun loving, happy man. And I just wanted to do the same. So, you know, there's always an upside and it's great that we're parents and we have these wonderful kids and they're our greatest accomplishments, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's all good. And it's perfect way to wrap out this family episode. We do have another question, a friend question for Felissa.
It's Bridget Flynn, who
Thank
I love.
Thank God for Bridget.
I love Bridget. Bridget is a friend of mine. We were at Blood on the Beach together. She's a beautiful person. And she asks, and I just really answered it, what's your greatest accomplishment besides acting? And I mean, without sounding, you know, sappy and all that, and we all know that I am. I mean, my children are definitely my greatest joy, my greatest accomplishment, because I had kids later in life, you know, my late 30s. So I wasn't even really sure that I would ever be a mom and have kids. And I had three in 4 years. So I had two girls and a boy, and they are my entire world. And I just am, I'm inspired by them every day, and I love them more than anything, and I do everything because of them, and I just feel very, very grateful that I'm their mom.
That's amazing. I don't really like my kids all that much.
So, you know, either, I mean,
so yeah. We have to go now.
So we're going to go.
So we're going to kill Tiff. She's an asshole.
Total terrible human being who's the only one who's honest here, apparently. My kids kind of suck. No, I'm just kidding. My kids are great. Everything's great.
What's your question?
I was wrapping this up, by the way. And don't even
Let's
pull
out.
You know what? Let's wrap up this fun-filled episode.
Open wide.
You know, I'm not dying here because
you
know what?
You take that whatever way you want.
Your phone went off during our podcast. That means Kane Hodder dies again. Thank you for listening. The Fangoria Podcast Network. Catch us next time. Same place, same scary people.
Casualty Friday is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, hosted by Tiffany Shepis, Felissa Rose, and Kane Hodder. Executive producers, Dallas Sanye, Phil Nobile Jr., Matt Mangiarides, and Justin Martell. Produced by Natasha Passetta. Associate producer, Jessica Safavamare. Art and design by Jason Koslerich. Sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Passetta. Music by John Brennan. For Fangoria, Brandon Wynardi and Rachel Wilson.